you need many things. You need to be at the right place. You need to be at the right time. You need to have the right background at the right time. And you need to be able to jump at the right time. So there's many, many uncertainties. Sometimes one of them is not there, and then you can't really do the next move. To give a good talk is essentially the basic threshold. But at the end of the day, even if you give the best talk, it might not really work in the interview, because what the people on the other side of the table want, they want to find a colleague, they want to find a good match, and they want to find the right fit.
Spot on. Wege zur Professur. Der Podcast der Postdoc Academy der Berlin University Alliance.
Hello and welcome to Spot On, Ways to Professorship. This is a podcast by Berlin University Alliance. My name is Christina Ayazi, and in this podcast we want to look into the many ways that can lead to professorship in Germany. How do we do this? We speak with successful researchers who walk the walk and are now professors in Berlin and willing to talk about it. I'm very happy to introduce our today's guest, Professor Dr. Julian Weiss from Technical University of Berlin. Thank you, Julian, for coming to our program and sharing your experiences with us.
Thank you for having me.
I'll try to say some words about you and then we go on and you correct me. Professor Dr. Julian Weiss is head of the Department of Aerodynamics at the Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics at the Technical University of Berlin. His main teaching and research activities are in the fields of flow physics and control, applied aerodynamics, and aerodynamic measurement technology. Is this correct so far?
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe let's start with telling us a little bit, how did you become a professor? When did it all start?
Okay, it was not planned from the beginning, so I wanted to study aerospace engineering, so I did study aerospace engineering, and I was actually in an engineering school in France. I was born and raised in France, and in the last semester, I had the chance to do an Erasmus internship in Stuttgart, in Germany. And before that, I really didn't want to do any research, but for some reason, during the master's, I got hooked. I really liked what I was doing. And after the master's, they offered me a PhD position. So I said, okay, why not? And I then started a PhD in Stuttgart. And then I really liked the research environment and tried to continue in the research environment. So that's the beginning. Now, how did I get from there to the professorship in Berlin? It's a little more convoluted than one would expect. I actually, at the end of my PhD, I didn't really know what to do. So I got a job in industry, in a company in Switzerland, because I had lots of friends who went to Switzerland. You make good money there, so that's why I decided to get there. But I turned out I didn't really like it. So then I switched back to academia, and I had the chance to do a postdoc in the U.S., organized by Duke University, but then located at NASA Langley Research Center, which was nice. So when I got the offer from NASA, I was pretty happy. And then I moved back to the U.S. for a postdoc. After that, I was assuming, naively, that when you do a postdoc in the US, then you can come back very easily to Europe, but it turned out that it's not the case. So after that, I actually did not really find a way or find a position in Europe. I was looking in Germany specifically because I knew that, but I didn't really find a position there. So I moved back to industry. I got a job at a company called Bombardier Aerospace, who they do airplanes, business jets and commercial airplanes. And I worked there for 4 years, I think. I liked it a lot, but still I kind of wanted to go back to research at one point, and I got the chance to get a job at the University of Quebec in Montreal, which I took, and I started a lab there for fluid dynamics. Stayed there several years, I don't remember exactly, 8 I think, and then got a job offer for the position in Berlin here, where I'm here. I've been here for 8 years also, I think now. So that's how I came here. So not so direct, but it worked out well, and I'm happy in Berlin now.
And it sometimes sounds with researchers that they have to make the decision, will I go into industry or will I stay in academia? But with your way, it sounds a bit like you went in and out of academia. This is probably also a good thing, no? To have a bit of real world.
Yeah, it's a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing for teaching. It's really good, especially engineering. I mean, engineering is an applied science, so you have to teach how things are done and not necessarily how things are done in a lab at the university. You have to teach how things are done in a company. So to have industry experience is really a good thing. Now, it's not easy to do. Like, you have in some systems, it's really hard to go from industry to academia. Luckily, Germany is not such a system. That means you can really move from companies to the university system in Germany, at least in engineering. In North America, you can, but it's not so trivial. I mean, there's not so many opportunities. So I had the chance to be able to do that. If somebody has a chance to do it, it's great. But you can't really count on it because it's not so easy to do. There's not so many positions where the industrial experience is valued, I would say.
And when you look on your way, the different stages, did you have any mentors? Were there any role models where you say this was a person or a group that influenced me a lot?
For my career, I would say no, not necessarily. I didn't really have any person who helped me to find my way. I found it myself, also because I tend to like to do things myself. Then as an academic, most people have role models. So I'm an academic, I know who are the great professors and who are the people who do a good job in research or in teaching, and you try to emulate them. So that's kind of the role models everybody has, I think, in an academic environment. But yeah, I didn't have anybody really to help me figure out my way in the system.
You just went by trying what works and what's good for
and, you. And I think it's not necessarily a good thing not to have somebody. I think it would have been better to have somebody, and probably I should have worked more to get somebody to help me, but to figure out how the system works, because it would have probably avoided a couple of mistakes. So now, when people ask me my advice, I try to help and give my opinion. But I mean, planning a career is very difficult. There's a lot of uncertainties. It's fraught with dangers. So you can't really plan ahead. You just have to make sure you're at the right place with the right background, and you have to keep all your doors open as much as you can, and you have to have the ability to jump in an open door when it opens. And it doesn't open all the time, so when it opens and you think it's right, you jump in it. That would be my advice, for example.
Yeah, it's being at the right place at the right time, but also able to jump.
Yes, exactly. Mm. So you need many things. You need to be at the right place. You need to be at the right time. You need to have the right background at the right time. And you need to be able to jump at the right time. So there's many, many uncertainties. Sometimes one of them is not there, and then you can't really do the next move. But I think that's essentially for everybody a little bit the same.
And did you have a plan B or C when you looked at, okay, this is going to lead to a professorship, but...
So I was never planning to... So the professorship, or even the professorship at TU Berlin, was never my, like, end goal. So I tend to follow what is available. And when the position in Berlin, for example, got opened, I realized that it would be interesting, and I The door was open. I tried to jump in the door. Luckily, it worked. I was not the only one to take a decision. Of course, somebody here also decided if it's a good idea or not. I had plan Bs for each of the steps I took, but they were not necessarily thought about. I mean, when you have an option to do something, you plan it, but you have to assume that it doesn't, that it may not work. And if it doesn't work, then you need to have a plan B. Yes. I would suggest everybody to have a plan B. So for the postdocs who are listening to us, I mean, you will have probably several opportunities and you have to look at those opportunities and think if they are worth it. But you have also to realize that sometimes it doesn't lead to the things you think it will lead to, like a postdoc or a second postdoc will not necessarily lead to a professorship. So you have to have a plan B always. Now, for some fields, it's easier than for others. Like engineering is pretty straightforward. You go work for a company, you will get a job as an engineer, especially as a specialist engineer, highly trained, PhD, postdoc. You will get a job normally. I'm assuming some other fields like architecture and so on, it's the same. Physics, chemistry, I don't really know what the plan B is. Probably also industry. Social sciences is also a little different. You can go into communication, to media, to, civil service. Generally speaking, what I've noticed over the years is lots of people, they don't really know how much background they have. Because when you do a PhD and then postdoc, you have a lot of background. You're a specialist in a technical field, so you're very good at that. But you have also other skills. You have normally very good time management skills because you submitted proposals on time, you submitted conference papers on time. So time management you can do. You normally have very good communication skills because your job was to write papers, your job was to give talks. So all these skills, you can really put them forward to get a job in something that is not academia. So you can actually sell yourself to a plan B, I think. That's my opinion. And you should, because there's not so many jobs in academia. There's way more candidates than jobs. So it's necessary to have a plan B, in my opinion.
Yeah, and see that there's many other roads that can be exciting and good for your life.
Absolutely. And I think one shouldn't really... So the basic point is that there's way more candidates than jobs. So even very good candidates might not get a job at the end in this field or in the field that they want to. So it cannot be interpreted necessarily as a failure.
When you did a big jump, no, coming from Canada to Technical University of Berlin, when you applied and got into the audition, how did you prepare? How did you go through this rather difficult interview process and giving lectures for trial, I guess?
So the interview process for an academic job is essentially always the same. You have to give a job, what we call a job talk, which is a research talk. I think it's German in Forsingen. I don't know if Forsingen is the whole thing or if it's just the talk, but essentially you need to give a job talk, which is your research. And sometimes you have to give a teaching sample, so like for 15 minutes or 30 minutes of some kind of fake lecture. And then you have the interview. And most people will really... concentrate on the talks, which is important. You have to make good talks, but you shouldn't forget that at the end, it has to be the right fit and you have to pass the interview. So to give a good talk is essentially the basic threshold. For me, it's the minimum. You need to do your best to give your best talk. But at the end of the day, even if you give the best talk, it might not really work in the interview because what the people on the other side of the table want is they want to find a colleague, they want to find a good match, and they want to find the right fit. And this fit is not necessarily only your decision, it's also their decision. You don't know those people most of the time, you don't know the people. So you can't really be sure that there will be a match between the people on the other side of the table and you. And so even when you have the best research talk, sometimes it might not work. And you have to keep that in mind. It's not only you, it's not only your results, not only your way of presenting stuff. It's also, is it going to match in this institution you want to go to? And that there is a bit of uncertainty there. So you keep that in mind, and if it doesn't work, then you try something else, and maybe another place will be better. So I'm not saying you shouldn't do a good job in preparing your talks. This is the basic, the minimum threshold, but it's not only that, essentially. You have to also pass this interview, and as in any interview, well, it's not only you who will decide the fate of the other success of the project.
Yeah, it's a lot of people involved, and you never really know how that works, of course. But now you have arrived here. I just counted it 7 years at Technical University now. So what do you like about being a professor here? What's the good things?
Well, the good thing, I mean, the advantage of the professor job as a general is that you're very free to do what you're interested in. So I can decide my interests in research. I can also decide the way I teach stuff. In Germany, it's even in the constitution. So Freiheit der Forschung und Lehre. So nobody has that. So it's a big advantage that we have here. We can plan the work that we want to do. And I landed at the Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, and we are a good group of people. We work together. We have a good ambiance in the institute. So it's nice. It's a good environment. I find it a good research environment.
I just thought you really worked in three different languages, lived in many different countries. How important is this, having been abroad, having an international network? We always say, oh, we're international as academica per se. But what does it mean for you, for your way?
I think it's important to have a network. And I kind of learned it late, like I should have cultivated my network way earlier, but it's not my thing. And so it's good to have a network. It's nice to have an international network. You sometimes hear that it's important to go abroad and then come back. I think it's true because you have to learn how other places are working. But what I realized is that you cannot be too foreign. Like, it's better if you keep some attachment to the place you wanna work in. I think one of the reasons I managed to get a job in Berlin is because I already spoke a little bit of German. I mean, reasonably German, let's say. So for somebody who has no connection to Germany, it's gonna be more difficult. Even if you have really the right technical background and everything, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's gonna be probably difficult. So it's nice to have an international experience. My personal experience tell me that you cannot be too foreign, or you shouldn't be too foreign either. So you have to cultivate the both sides. And if you go do a postdoc in a different country, which I think is great, you want to keep contacts at home, because if you want to come home, you need to get a job home and you need to know how things work. So you have to keep your contacts, keep your networking and stuff like that. But it's important to see the world, in my opinion, especially in the academic world.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then also have a place you can make home if it's not originally home, to say, okay, this could work. Yeah. What role did relationship, family play on your way?
I was lucky because my partner was very supportive of all my moves. It's a difficult thing a little bit, because, I mean, if you really want, if you really want to land a professorship somewhere, it's better to be prepared to move, because there's not so many, and they might open all over the world, depending on your specialty. You might get a job opening, I don't know, in Michigan or in Canada or in Sweden or in Berlin. So if you really want it, you should. It's better if you're prepared to move. Now, if you have a family, it's way more difficult to move. So normally, if you're early in your, if you're very young, you don't have a family yet, nice, you can go. Normally, it's easy, adventure. At one point, normally, it settles a little bit. At least it happens to most of us. And then if you want to move with your family, you have to make sure that the family follows. So in my case, it worked. I know many I have a few friends who would not have moved for family reasons, which I completely understand. That you have, it's everything is a compromise. So you have to look at your situation and define if it's worth and decide if it's worth moving with the family or not. So ideally, you have a very portable partner, like I don't know, a writer, a painter, and then it's relatively easy. If it's not the case, you figure it out. But it depends on anybody's situation.
Yeah. But it is something you have to look into at some point in the decision-making process, of course. We always look at professorship as being the top of the ladder, like you climb up, you jump in. So now you are a professor for many years. What's next? What are you aiming at?
I'm pretty happy where I am right now. Yeah, so I'm pretty happy with the work we're doing at the institute, with the work we're doing at the lab. So I'm happy to continue that. If a door opens, I'm not saying that I will not look into the door and decide what's going to happen. But I don't have any big plan right now. I had a lot of moves, and to be honest, I don't really want to move right now. This is not my main goal. Yeah. But you keep open. You keep your eyes open, so you never know.
Yeah, to also have this place as home. If you look at your own PhD students, postdocs, is there something you do to support them on their way or on the decision-making? Is it academia? Is it the industry?
I try to. I try to give them advice if they ask for advice, of course. So I have some experience, of course. So I will give my opinion, which is essentially what I told you. If you have to decide how much you're willing to sacrifice in some way. If you only want a professorship, you have to decide how much you want to sacrifice. Is it okay to leave? If you decide it's not worth it, then maybe you should think about a plan B. This kind of advice I give them what I think would be useful. But this idea of plan B that we discussed about, I try to give that to as many people as I can, because you have to have a plan B, because it might not work. And if it doesn't work, it's not necessarily your fault, because, I mean, the market is against you. The statistics are against you. So you have to live with that, essentially.
If you look back anyway, were there any stumbling stones, or were there any situations where you said, okay, there I had to think twice to make the right decision?
Well, I mean, moving a family from Montreal to Berlin, I think I must have thought about it for, I don't know, months before taking the decision. I mean, it's not something that is easily done, something that you have to figure out. So the older you get, I find that the more difficult the decisions are. For me, at least. Maybe it's not the case for everybody. But of course, if you're like when you're in your 20s and you have opportunities abroad and you just take them and it's adventure and it's nice, you probably have to think less. And the older you get, you have to think a little more. I can't give you specific examples, but I had the chance to do a lot of different jobs in different places, and I would say that each of those decisions were thought about. I really had to think about it. Well, some I didn't really have a choice, so I had to take them. but But the one for which I had a choice, I thought about it a lot. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I see. There is a path you walk, and then there's.
I mean, there's no fundamental recipe. I mean, it's an individual decision at the end. You get a certain opportunity, and you have to decide: will I make the jump? Will I not make the jump? And it depends on your risk tolerance. It depends on your family situation. It depends on many things, and you have to decide by yourself. I remember that when I moved to the US, I was employed in a Swiss company. I think it took me 15 years to make the same amount of money. So this is something to think about. And if you're young, you can decide, well, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I do what I'm interested in. Maybe in a different time in your life, you will think differently. I don't know. So there's many parameters there.
Yeah. It depends very much also what stage in your life you are and what's important. And maybe also, as you said, you have moved a lot. You do know how to pack your suitcase, but it's also good to be in one place for work. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And some people, I mean, I was fine to move. I think I can actually adapt pretty well mostly everywhere, or at least I could. I don't know that I can now anymore, but I could. And this is one thing I can do well, but there are other things I can't do well. So some people might not be able to move so easily, but might do something else much better than me. So it's a personal capacity I had. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. You've seen many different universities. What do you like about the German academia? What is it where you say that's something we do well?
Oh, that's a tricky question. I have to be careful there. So compared to what I've seen, I didn't see much. I was in the North American side and in the German side. So Canada or the US is essentially the same system. Essentially, I mean, there are differences, but essentially compared to Europe, it's the same system. So there are advantages there, which is that bureaucracy is essentially a tenth of what it is here. There are disadvantages there, which is that, well, it's harder to get to funding compared to Germany, for example. At least in my field, I'm talking to my about my field. I don't know exactly what's going on in the other fields, but what I realize is in Germany you get access to research funding easier than in Canada, that's for sure, and probably easier than in the US, whereby that depends a little bit on the field. Now, I could imagine that if you have the right connection in the US, you would get access to more funding, for example, that you have here, and way quicker. I mean, everything is quicker there compared to here. But it's also nice to have sometimes a system that works a little slower. So I can't really make a list of what is best, better, and what is less. Well, it's a different system, and as everywhere, there are advantages and there are inconveniences, and you just have to be fine with both. I find it a good compromise. Otherwise, I wouldn't be there. So I'm here because I find it a good compromise, and as every compromise, there's plus and minuses.
Are there any regrets you have when you look back on your career path, or anything where you said, okay, I could have done that a bit better, or this could have been easier in my life if I had made a different decision?
Yes, I think I could have done a better job networking. It's not my thing. It's not my forte. I'm not really good at that. I'm still not very good at that. I'm trying to get better. I kept a better network in Europe before going to the US, for example, or if I had maintained this network, I might have been able to come back to Europe earlier, which is actually what I thought at the beginning. I thought that after my postdoc, I would be able to come back to Europe. I might have done that better if I had a better network. Well, then I don't regret the fact that I didn't come back. You have to realize that at the end, I changed my, I did something else. I was very happy. And this is not a regret. I don't have any regret on the path, but potentially I could have worked on that a little better. So I would advise people to do some networking. Yeah.
And that is going to conferences, inviting other lecturers.
Yeah, it's going to conferences and just keeping in touch with all your friends who stay there and who slowly get a position, strategic positions in different companies or in different institutions. It's not only colleagues, it's like all the people you know at a certain time. If you keep knowing them for a long time, you will increase your network of people that you know and that you can draw advice from, and that will probably be useful at one point. And it's something I have to admit that I realized that much, much too late in my career, or in my life, actually.
Right, right. Okay. Is there anything else you would like to say to our postdoc researchers?
Yeah, if you're interested in what you're doing, you are a specialist, you are an expert in your field, and if you want to go to academia, which is a great place to be, I encourage everybody to try as much as they can to get the research job or the academic job that they want. But if it doesn't work, it's not really a big issue. You will find something interesting. Keep trying.
Right. Julian, thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
All the best for your research, for your team, for your work here at Technical University.
Thank you.
Hope to hear from you soon.
Well, thank you. It was nice to be able to chat with you. Thanks.
Thanks.